a new delay for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After pushing the Keystone XL oil pipeline for 7 years, the Canadian company behind the project, TransCanada, has asked the Obama administration to hit pause. This in the face of not just political but economic questions. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now. Scott, this isn't the end of the pipeline?
Certainly some environmental groups this morning are celebrating this project as dead. Perhaps sleep mode for now. I mean, this is a requested pause in the application, which the Obama administration still has to grant. And this could very well wait until the project clears other regulatory hurdles in the state of Nebraska, and perhaps conveniently for the company, TransCanada could push it off to the next U.S. president after the election. Otherwise, the company risks getting a no from Washington, and it would have had to start this long process, now 7 years in, all over again.
I see. But still, a lot of Canadian oil is flowing as we speak.
More than two million barrels of oil sands will come today and every day here in the lower 48. In fact, a lot of other pipeline capacity has been built, unclogging the plumbing and letting a lot of Canadian crude reach refineries in the U.S. Gulf Coast. The big question is the future, and it's the economics. Canadian oil sands is very expensive to produce. You have to steam it up from the ground and separate it. And bankers in Alberta say lots of capital there has already shifted and moved towards, say, U.S. shale production, which is cheaper and more adaptable to price swings that we're seeing here. In fact, one analyst up in Alberta says the era of mega projects in the oil sands is now over.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.2%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are down in the 0.2% range. Who says the paint industry is like watching paint dry? Sherwin-Williams has just finished testing a new paint that kills nasty bacteria. The company hopes to sell lots of it to hospitals, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Sherwin-Williams' Steve Revenue says the new paint is groundbreaking.
It doesn't just inhibit the growth of common microbes.
Other paint products have done that, but this one, he says,
actually has the power to kill infectious bacteria.
Dr. Emily Landon, though, is a little skeptical. She's in charge of limiting the spread of infections at the University of Chicago's hospital.
Bacteria don't jump off of walls, and the only way they can get from walls to patients is on contaminated healthcare provider hands.
And the new paint isn't cheap, about $85 a gallon. Dr. Landon wants to see more research before spending that kind of money. Still, she says the paint could be useful in other places.
In a daycare center or a pediatrician waiting room where you've got kids running around with snotty noses all the time, it may be really helpful to have fewer bacteria on the walls, but that really remains to be seen.
Dr. Landon says the cheapest and most effective way to limit the spread of infection, wash your hands. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
You'll remember the push for body cameras for police after the civil rights case in Ferguson, Missouri. One issue highlighted how will authorities store all the resulting video data? Well, quarterly profits are due today for the company that makes electric zappers and body cameras. And sure enough, Taser International is diversifying into a new field, data storage. From KJZZ in Phoenix, Jimmy Jenkins has this piece.
It's no shock that Taser is an industry leader in stun guns, which still account for the bulk of the company's production at its headquarters in Scottsdale, Arizona. Taser also makes body cameras, but once officers are wearing those cameras, what are police departments going to do with all that video? Taser's Steve Tuttle says that's where the company stands to make big money in the future.
And that's the back-end cloud that provides the storage, the management, the service, and the sharing of all this data.
Taser's product is called Evidence.com. It costs police departments anywhere from $15 to $99 per month per officer. Steve Dyer is a senior research analyst at Craig Hallam Capital Group who follows police technology. He says while formidable tech companies like Motorola and Panasonic are getting into the body camera industry, Taser's cloud-based service gives the company an edge.
By our count of the top 60 departments, they've lost only two to competitors.
Noah Johnson is a commander with the Tempe Police. His department recently purchased Taser's Axon cameras and is gradually rolling them out across the force. Tempe went with the cloud storage subscriptions because it helps them modernize and organize all their evidence storage.
We were looking for a process not only with the body cameras, but other data that we collect, you know, audios, you know, videos from maybe a 7-Eleven, from an armed robbery, things like that.
Previously, the department's video and audio lived on tape cassettes and DVDs. Tuttle of Taser International explains what its storage system can do.
When you do a recording of an incident, you have the ability to play it back and start filling in the report while you're in the squad car. And those become meta tags, defining what type of crime it was, what violation it was, the person's social security number.
Dyer of Craig Hollum thinks the growth potential for the industry is enormous, especially when cities realize the return on investment when it comes to preventing claims against their police departments. He says the NYPD alone has paid out millions over the past decade over disputed claims.
You could put a camera on every officer in New York City for a fraction of that.
And that means Taser may have some more competition in the future to manage all that data. In Phoenix, I'm Jimmy Jenkins for Marketplace.
And a cool idea gone awry at Lego. From time to time, the Danish toy company crowdsources new ideas for Lego kits. This time, the company got about 10,000 submissions from Lego lovers, some very elaborate. Now, Lego has announced the number of winners, Lego ideas that'll go into production. That number is zero. 10,000 submissions, none passed muster. On its website, Lego says this has never happened before. Disappointment all around, Lego says. Among the failures here, ideas where Lego can't get the intellectual property rights, ideas too close to existing kits, and ideas that violate its rules about fun building experiences or safety. So much for my idea of a Lego scalpel set. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Beatty Jong. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.